There's this Irish proverb. It goes along the lines of the best way to keep loyalty in a man's heart is to keep money in his purse. But if you're paying for insurance, a mortgage, phone or energy bills, turns out your loyalty might actually be costing you. It follows research by former ACCC chairman Professor Alan Fells. He says the so-called loyalty tax costs about $3.6 billion and affects millions of people. Professor Fells is currently the insurance monitor for New South Wales. And he joins us tonight. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks, Patricia.
As of this week, insurers in New South Wales must include details of last year's premium on all renewal notices. You pushed for these changes and now they're here. How are they going to help?
For the first time, for most consumers, they'll know what they paid last year and what the increase is this year. And if they originally purchased insurance a little bit cheaply, normally in the second year, the price will go up by about 25 to 30%, but they don't know. This will bring that out.
And if they can see then that the price hike is, you know, unsatisfactory to them, what can they actually do though?
Well, of course they can question the insurer, but even better if they get another quote. Now, there are arguments for and against. It is inconvenient to get a quote and you have to get a few. On the other hand, the benefits are large. So typically, someone who paid $1,000 in year one would normally be up for $1,250, $1,300 or $2,000, well over $2,500. If you shop around, you can eliminate that difference. But it is inconvenient. And I'm hoping that consumers will go back to insurers and question increases.
And is this change nationwide or just in New South Wales?
Well, I've required it under a regulatory power that I have in New South Wales. But the insurers, seeing the writing on the wall, have introduced the change Australia-wide for motor cars and for home and contents insurance.
This so-called loyalty tax is not just in the insurance sector, though, is it? You've said that's costing around $3.6 billion. How did you actually come to that conclusion?
There was a very detailed, authoritative UK government study which concluded that the cost there was about £4 billion. Now, translating into Australia with our smaller population, slightly higher average income, it comes to $3.6 billion. It's probably worse in Australia because it's very widespread, not only in the areas you think of, insurance and phones, but particularly in energy. And the ACCC has estimated very big costs just for energy.
The Insurance Council of Australia says it's competition in action when they offer new customers discounts, not a loyalty tax.
Well, what they should have done for the last 20 years was tell customers how much the price went up in the second year. Typically, they didn't. I regard that as rather deceptive to give someone a low price and then not tell them the following year it's going up 25% and in year 3, 4, 5 and 6.
So how do we as existing customers, you're describing me, you know, just stay with what I've got, it seems fine, spot these hidden loyalty penalties and taxes? And what other barriers do we face in shopping around and trying to get the best deal?
Unfortunately, you've got to spend some time shopping around. Now, we in New South Wales have done a lot of our own shopping around, and it turns out there are really big variations in the offers you get. So each quarter, we go to one street address, and specify the details of the house and get a quote. And we find there are enormous differences in quotes from about 1,000 to 2,700 for an identical place. And we've reproduced the study in 12 different areas of New South Wales. We did it earlier in Victoria. That means the bad news is you've got to spend time shopping around. The good news, there are big savings to be made.
That's highway robbery.
Well, I find it bad that the insurance companies don't give us more information. They thrive on us consumers not having information, together with the fact that it's a pretty concentrated, not very competitive industry.
Okay, so you've suggested these changes and they're coming, of course, they're starting. What more needs to happen, though, given the industry is clearly so opaque?
Well, I'd like to see the practice spread to all forms of insurance and to various other products, energy, home mortgages, phones and so on. Slightly different measures are required in all those areas. With banking, we are slowly moving to a situation of open banking where you, the customer, have information from the bank that about you, everything about you that's relevant, that you can transfer to another bank in competition. That is, in principle, a good move. Based on my experience with insurers, there will be a lot of resistance by bankers in principle to that, but even when it's accepted, they will do a lot of street fighting to make it not so effective as it sounds.
Because they're going to lose money. All right, let's move to another topic, another area you're very involved in. Victoria's Royal Commission into the Mental Health System began this week. You're one of the commissioners. How much has the conversation around this changed in recent years?
Well, in some ways, it's got better. There is somewhat greater community recognition of the nature of the problem and the severity of it. And governments are taking a little bit more interest, but it still remains a low priority of governments. In addition, the system is not terribly well organised, quite difficult to navigate, and it's not well linked. For example, if you're in hospital and you come out, often there's no accommodation for you. What's the use of being in hospital if the following night you sleep under a bridge? You'll be back in quite soon.
How likely are we to see a national inquiry, or how necessary may it be? Because this is a Victorian Royal Commission. Clearly we have a nationwide problem.
Yes. There is a national inquiry. The Productivity Commission is doing it, and that's great, although it will be more about the economic costs. And there's a reason for that. Just as a sheer economic proposition, the economic benefits of fixing up mental health dwarf the gains from those other tax reforms and microeconomic reforms we talk about. The cost of mental illness is about 4% of GDP. The system, with better investment, better organisation, could be improved 25% in 3 or 4 years. 25% of 4%, 1%. A 1% GDP gain dwarfs other economic reforms.
We know that the Health Minister, Greg Hunt, has you know, put a focus on suicide prevention, and we're hearing this kind of discussion. Do you think the government has a sense of just how crucial this is, or the kind of investments it needs to make?
I think there is a general understanding, and Prime Minister Morrison has said it quite a lot, and Minister Hunt, that it's a pretty serious problem. I respectfully suggest that they're not that clear on what the best policy approach should be. And also there are many voices in mental health making different suggestions and so on. I think my starting point would be start with the person, the problem. They need to lead a fulfilling or a contributing life. So it's not all about spending an hour a week with a psychiatrist. The whole of your life is heavily affected if you have a mental health problem.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Patricia.
Professor Alan Fells is the former chair of the ACCC, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. He's currently New South Wales Insurance Monitor and, of course, also is one of those commissioners on the Royal Commission into the Mental Health System in Victoria. This is RN Drive.